is Davin's Den.
So we are hanging out with our pal, Denise Booker, general manager now?
Yes.
Your general manager? That's general, a promotion. Yes. Is that promotion?
Yeah, I guess.
Of Bananas.
I went from manager to general manager. Yeah. I don't know. It's all the same, pretty much.
I feel like I shouldn't like dick around with her as much now that she's like a general manager.
She's the boss lady now.
She's the boss lady.
I know. She always was, yeah.
But, you know, we've had a lot of... we've had a lot of people. We've had club owners on the show. We've certainly had a bunch of comedians on the show. We've never actually had... a booker.
Really?
On the show.
No.
Because we don't like most of them. I tell you all the time. You're one of the few people in the industry outside of comics who I like. I tell you that all the time.
But I'm not a booker for multiple clubs. So.
But you're still a booker.
Yes.
You're
yes.
still you're one of the few people in the industry who I like. I
Thank
don't
you.
No.
Thank you.
Because no, most of the people in our industry suck. They're awful, awful people.
I don't deal with them like you do, so I don't know. I'm in my little corner of the world, and that's it.
I got to tell you, you have a patience of a saint because I put together two shows. I do a show for one of my customers at my day program at his temple. I had to get acts for that. I had Davin Lacey, but I had to put the acts together. Mm-hmm. And I do a Chamber of Commerce show for my buddy every year. I'm ready to blow my head off.
Really?
He was actually messaging me in frustration. Yeah. He was like very upset.
Really?
So one person I was getting for this temple show is a female comic, and it was a 20-minute spot, and she's been doing comedy. What do you think? Maybe, what, 5 years, you would say, Dev?
Yeah.
All right, she's doing comedy 5 years, and when I work with
her... Now
you're
going to make me try to figure out who it is.
I don't think you know who she is. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
She was marginally entertaining at a show.
She's good. She's a good comic.
All right, but you know, she wanted $250, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I go, no. Thank you. Have a great day.
No, that's not what you did. You called me. Go, who does she, who does she think? Have you ever heard of such a thing?
You can always text me and ask me.
Well, I said. Well,
you
I
are
said,
more than welcome to text me.
I said to Joe. I go, Joe, this comedian has a right to ask for whatever they want.
Anybody has a right to ask
for whatever
they
want. I have
a right
to tell her to go fuck
herself.
Whether
they get it or not.
I said, and you have the right to say no. That's the end of it. Everybody has to run their own business.
I did that recently with a comic also.
Yeah. Wish you would have done it a couple weeks ago. But anyway.
But it's like 20 minutes and you want two real, and you've been doing it five
Here's
years?
Here's the thing about female comics. I just had this conversation with a female comic I was working with on Saturday. We were working together. Very funny lady. Do you know Jane Condon?
No.
I know the name.
Very funny. Up in Connecticut. Very funny. I don't know if...
Headliner?
She's a headliner. I'm a we co-headline. Mm. We each do 45. Mm. I don't know if your club's going to headline her.
Yeah.
But I'm telling... She's very funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to hire her to headline.
Okay.
But anyway, well, I said... here's the thing. I go, once females get funny, they don't want to feature. They want to go...
Correct.
They want to go right to headliner, and they don't want to get paid what a regular headliner is getting, maybe $250 a show, whatever it is. They want to get twice that a show a lot of times. I go, that's why I can't book a lot of female headliners. Not that I don't want to. I can't afford
them. There's some out there that aren't like that.
I can't get Patty. Patty's very funny.
Really?
It was close to her house. It was in the $250 area on a weeknight. Couldn't get her.
Really?
But now I know people take different money for different people.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, there was another one who's really good. I want to mention her name.
Yeah, but always when they're close to a club, though. You know, if it's close
different
to
if
a
you
gig,
have a relationship.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There was one who's really really funny, the real deal. But I made an offer. I needed a spot, and she goes, "I have something to do, but yeah, I would do it." But usually I get this amount,
right?
Which, if it was the budget, I'd pay it because she's that good. But still, that you know, yeah.
But that was a better way of saying it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I understand females are treated poorly in some stances in this business, but once they get good, they blow way past the men as far as the money for the most part.
Because
there's not as many of them.
There aren't as many of them. You're right on that.
They don't want to feature. As soon as they get decent, they don't want to feature.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the point where you're not as good as my headliners.
See, I do have features, female features.
Who?
Vicky Cooperman.
I don't know Vicky.
Vicky?
Who is it? Tracy Locke was recommended to me. Do you know Tracy?
I've heard the name.
I got to check her.
Stephanie Holmes.
I just used Jackie Byrne to host. Local
Jackie
girl.
Byrne's very good.
Local girl. Got great, I wasn't there. Good. Got great reviews, so if you want her information.
MC?
MC.
Local to me?
Local.
I recommend it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, highly, highly.
So
text it to me at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, I didn't see it. I hired her. Uh-huh. I heard she did great. Mm-hmm. So
I'll look at her. And yeah, I mean, you know, females are just, you know, they're a tricky situation comedian-wise, I think, because they're trying to compete with the men. You know, some of them just go so dirty.
A lot of them do.
They think that that's what's going to get the laughs. You know, which in a lot of cases, it doesn't have to. Funny is funny. It's the content. It's not, you know,
right.
It doesn't have to be dirty to necessarily be great. But, you know, I do know headliners out there that will do, and I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I don't want to give away what anybody gets paid.
No, that's fine. No, off the air.
Yeah.
So how long have you been the booker at Bananas?
Dude,
this was not supposed to be a tough one. Also, you're like my audience members. What's your name?
See if he rubbed off on her.
And this is why I go off on fucking tangents.
So it's when Vera left. I don't
have Vera left. It's got to be 10 years.
I don't.
Or nine. It's got to be.
No.
Nine.
Okay. So my son was in kindergarten, and that's fine.
How about you ballpark it for us so we can move on to the next question? Thank you. Jesus Christ.
I want to say 8 years.
I'd say 8 years. Is...
Yeah.
The maker and breaker of dreams,
no,
right there.
No, but you
got to
understand, I've been at Bananas so long, and
right,
then there was that
it.
Point when
I
started
it.
Doing that. So I have to.
But you didn't start at the book. What position did you start at?
Where?
At Bananas.
At Bananas. Well, I never started with Bananas. I mean, I
oh,
started...
you were in it before Bananas.
So.
I didn't know.
30 plus years ago, I was a waitress for Bananas, which is employed by the hotels, because Bananas is located in a hotel.
So you were working for the hotel.
So I started working for the hotel originally. In Fort Lee, and then they'd moved, obviously, and when I had gotten pregnant with my first child is when I call it, I did the crossover from working for the hotel to working for Bananas.
Okay.
Because I was bartending at that point, and I didn't want to be reaching and, you know, being pregnant, so I just didn't want to do that anymore. So that's when I started working for Bananas, which was 22 years ago.
It's a long time.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been associated with Bananas for 31.
So you started as a waitress.
As a waitress.
Then you were the hostess?
No, just waitress. And then when we moved to a different hotel, became bar manager, bartender, and then just went over to Bananas as a cedar.
Well, that's what I meant by hostess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cedar.
Okay, cedar. And then from there, you got promoted to booker.
Yeah, well, when I started working in the office, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you were actually, when you were as a waitress, my pet peeve of mine a lot of times with waitresses and bartenders is they'll give feedback about the show. And my thought is like, well, if you're doing your job properly, you're not really listening to the fucking show.
You want to know something? You want to know something, though, with the band? The bouncers can make or break you.
Right, but the bouncers are watching.
About sound, they can complain about sound.
But there's no better compliment from a waitress than a waitress coming up and saying, you were
laughing.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because they've heard so many.
But when the waitress or bartender stops you from getting booked again.
None of ours do that.
Actually,
I have to say,
no,
ours
I know, no,
don't.
You had a great crew.
No, no.
Yeah.
Thank
Funny
you.
Story, me and this other comedian that I was talking about in the first thing actually had an enemy in common years ago at Catch a Rising Star. Mm. This comedian said something. I think he said the N-word. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she got offended, and he had to come down there and apologize. And she wasn't black. And she kind of – yeah, she wasn't black. And she kind of gave me the same situation when I had a joke with – I had the word niggas in it. You used to do it at your club.
I vaguely remember the joke.
Yeah, it's years ago. I don't do it anymore. But and she got offended because somebody might get offended. And the booker of the club, who I was friendly with – he's no longer there – told me about this. He's like, listen, I know it's ridiculous. The comic was just talking about how to go down there and apologize. And I go, how about Wendy? I can say, how about she just serves the nachos, cunt? And I never use that word.
I like that word. I am one who likes it. It doesn't bother me.
And I've had many conversations. I've had many conversations with other comics. And bookers, like, well, the waitress, the bartender didn't give you a good review. And I'm like, hey, I don't tell them how to make a martini. How about they don't tell me how to do my act?
Exactly. Exactly.
But still, how were you able to judge the comics from there? Or you really started to be able to watch the comics when you became a cedar?
No, when I was a cedar. Not as a waitress, no.
Because you're working your ass off.
Because you're only hearing bits. You're coming in on some. You're coming to the service bar. You're coming in. So you're not hearing the full unless it was a slower night and you can enjoy a show, which is very rare as a waitress because you still have to constantly sell.
Because a slower night, there's just less waitresses, so you're still working a lot.
You're still working. That's what I'm saying. You still have to constantly sell. So, you know, as a seater is when you can, you know, essentially once the room is sat. You know, different clubs work different things. You know, our home club, the seaters turn into the food runners.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's, and I don't know if that's the norm in other clubs that are standalones, whereas we're not, so we don't deal with the food and drink. The hotel does the food and drink. So our seaters can, you know, police the room and, you know, enjoy the show.
Right.
Whatever it may be. So,
so when you book comics, do you book comics that you personally find funny, or you could say, I don't think this is funny personally, but this might work in our room? How do you do
both.
Your booking?
Both.
I think that's the smart thing
it's
to
both.
Do.
I will be the first to admit, if I don't like somebody and I don't think they're funny, that's just me. You could not think the same thing. In fact, I had people walk out of the show this past weekend and said the comic was horrible. And
I wasn't there, Joe. Shut up.
Neither of you were there. And my answer But my answer to that is everybody else in the room is laughing. That's just your opinion.
Right.
And I will be the first to admit, I can tell you who I don't think is funny. And it's just not my brand of comedy.
So
it's usually the same type. And it's just, but I can still hear the funny in the joke.
Right.
Just because I don't like the way it's being delivered or who's delivering it, I'm not saying that it's not funny.
You're booking to the audience, though, because that's
your
job.
Absolutely.
I think that's the smart
thing
to do.
Like I said earlier, you're going to book a very diverse show, you know, whether it be, you know, two guys and a girl, two girls and a guy or whatever, or, you know, or nationality-wise, is that the right way? Yeah. You know, whether it's black, white, Hispanic, Asian, anything, you know, it makes a show diverse, and that's what makes everything good.
Right.
If you get that magic thing going where it's a good show.
Well, the show we did, she was very smart. She put three smallish white guys on the show. Very diverse.
I did not know what the MC was. I'd never met him before. So
I don't think any of us topped five.
And you were booked prior to the headliner.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, you
don't.
Cause...
So you were the first person booked on that weekend.
I should have told him what the fuck to do.
Nah, funny. I was here first.
So,
listen, you're lucky I'm letting you headline this week, and that's what I should have told
him. But yes, I do take pride in the way that things are booked. I try to make it, you know, and not, like I said earlier, the same type of comedy.
Right.
Everybody's comedy is different, and everybody should experience it.
I
just like when headliners bring their features, no problem with that, but don't bring the same feature every single time because you want to give the audience something different every single time.
Because we know the comics aren't going to write.
So. It's not even a matter of that. You want to give them a diversity.
Well,
you know?
If the comics are writing, then it is different, though, too.
True. True.
God forbid we put pen to paper after we get 45 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Some comics write a lot. Some don't.
You've never seen me do the same thing two years in a row.
No, and there are really great comics that you can know who consistently writes.
I don't consider those guys great comics. At that point, they're just like great actors. They're reciting lines at that point. I think a great comic is continually writing.
Oh, there are some of them that are absolutely.
That's
what I mean by great comics.
Yeah.
Continually writing.
Continue writing. Continue to take chances.
Always has his notebook with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be at a diner and he writes something.
I mean, I'm not that fastidious, unfortunately. But yeah, I always like to see when I'm watching somebody new, when I'm watching somebody who I've seen, they always have like a new thing, a new wrinkle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like, oh, well, you know, I like to see that people are trying to grow and get better.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And listen, I get it. You know, we all have stuff we have to keep in our act for whatever. I still have the stupid condom, but it's still my closing thing a lot of times. Whatever.
You want to know something? We were doing a second show on Saturday, and I wanted to... I don't want to switch it up, but it's like I had a long day. Mm-hmm. I was tired. It was the second show. So I had a very good set, but I figured I'd just do, you know, and it looked like a little tough one. I just did my, you know, tried and true stuff.
Oh, I always switch around
you
stuff.
Know, I figured,
you can feel it, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know what, let me just do
if
the
if it's a tight-ass audience.
Yeah.
And you know certain things aren't going to work, you're best staying with what you do best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or in my case, plow through and belittle them. Either one. Either one works.
Funny.
There you have it.
So what are some things that will immediately make you decide against hiring a comedian?
Well.
There's got to be something.
Okay, so if you're sending me a clip, and not that I'm a prude, but I don't want to hear fuck, fuck, over and over and over again. If you're going to send me a clip, I want to hear the jokes and the comedy.
Okay.
You know.
So cleaner's better than dirty.
I'm not saying not dirty, but if it's consistently, because to me, and I will, Jay Leno said this once in his, whatever that show is with that guy.
Cars and Cars.
No. It's the one with the one-on-one, the 10 questions or whatever.
James Lipton?
Yes.
Actor Studio.
Thank you. Inside the
Actor Studio.
I'll
tell you what, you give us 10 minutes, we'll get to every word. We'll get to every
word. I know. So anyway, he did a thing with him, and I watched it, and it was so true that Jay Leno had said this. Now, he's obviously a comic who does not curse at all.
Right.
Never curses in his
act. My parents saw Leno, and they love Leno.
Yeah.
Well, but, and he explained why, and it's a great reason. You make the audience think. Using the word fuck is a crutch. It's because you're not using your brain or the English language.
No, it's true.
And to use the English language is to make an audience member pay attention with a vocabulary. Mm. So I'm not saying that you don't have to use the word fuck, because apparently, like Buddy Fitzpatrick does that joke where you have to use the word fuck. Right? You know what you want to talk about? Yeah. You know what you want to talk about?
I don't pay
the fuck schmuck joke.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
No, some jokes need it, but you're talking about extraneous fucks.
But if you're using it as a crutch, I don't want to hear it.
Extraneous fucks.
No.
SAT word.
The old owners would sometimes ask me, don't say fuck. And I used to have a shirt that said, fuck the French Cinco de Cock. And I'm like,
but
it's on the merch.
But you don't want, also, you don't want a comic in front of a cleaner comic as a headliner. You don't want somebody in front of them to just go to town cursing.
Well, I think
because
limits.
Then it doesn't make. Because
the headline is bringing in an audience that likes clean material.
I mean, if you're going to book somebody, may he rest in peace, Otto and George, it don't matter who you put in front of them.
No,
that's why you put me in front of him. It doesn't fucking matter.
It just doesn't matter because I don't think not many are going to get dirtier than him.
Yeah.
You know.
I tried. No.
And you did not succeed when it came to him.
No, I don't think I got dirty at all.
Did you? No.
I worked with him the last time he was at your club.
Oh, did you?
Remember that? I remember that week. That was the last time he was there.
That was after he came back from being sick.
Yes.
Wow, that's probably right before a day. I've been gone, 4 years now? I think it's around, you passed around now.
I think it was five.
Anyway, nice man. Nice man.
Great man.
All right, so what are things that a comedian can do that will help them get rebooked?
Just be funny, really. So and not just by my criteria. I also listen, like I said earlier, I listen to audience members coming out. Mm-hmm. Joe over here is such a great Long Island comic that he, you were taught well.
Yeah.
We've discussed this many a times where he, you know, waits for all the audience members to come out and thanks them. Not all comics do that. I think it's a great
thing.
So
that makes a difference.
I think, no, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, personally, I think it's a good thing. It's mm-hmm. better for the comic.
Well, at Governors, we all do it because they instill it in us to do it.
So, but by doing that by me, I'm also hearing a lot of people going, great set. Because if you can tell when somebody is genuine, says great set, or, oh, you were funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's... Yeah.
Heard that too,
but it's all.
And you were good too.
Well, you know, people are coming out. Can I get a picture with you?
Yeah,
you know, you can tell when a comic has done very well,
right.
And when people are just, you know, saying it to them on the way out. It's you can totally tell. I'm listening to that. I'm listening to not the content all the time, but the laughter.
Interesting.
Yeah. I also think as a comic, just your candor, that you're so busy, and I've told you, I've told Dean, I've told all the guys, that in your weekend, I'm one less thing you have to worry about.
Exactly.
I show up on time, I do a good job, I make people laugh.
But let's talk about that. Where does being a low drama rank for you? Like a guy like Joe shows up, you know, you don't have to worry about, where does
it's
that rank?
It's enjoyable.
So if you're like that, you're more likely to get rebooked as opposed
not
to if you're
necessarily,
so if he causes so say an MC
no,
causes you problems.
There's no, I mean, if somebody's going to be an asshole, you're not going to get booked again.
Yeah.
Period. If you're going to be an asshole to me, you're going to be a dick to me. You're not going to get booked again. And I think that would not only go by me, but by pretty much any booker.
Unless they're putting asses in seats.
Unless what?
They're putting asses in seats.
But and that would be a headliner, and that. It's not a.
But you have booked headliners.
This
is a new thing that you're not booking headliners. You were booking headliners.
Yes.
So
I don't. Have that,
let's not pretend that you never did.
No, I did. I did book headliners. And there are some specific headliners that there's not many. There are some that I don't like, whether it be personally or comedic wise. But I booked them. Mm-hmm. You know. certain ones, they were booked, and I preferred not to work that weekend.
You did take off some weekends. No, I just because we had conversations beforehand, and I.
Yeah, there's some specific comics that I prefer not to work with, and that's, you know, I mean, just like you guys, I'm sure there are comics that if you don't have to work with them, you won't.
I'm working with one of them in a couple of weeks for Walt.
Sorry.
It's like, but I'm not going to cause a problem.
Yeah, but you know, you could call me and say, Denise, I have a beef with this guy. Can you move my weekend?
I would never do that.
I know, but you know that I would be like, okay, not a problem, because again, you don't want anything. Not that anything would happen at the club, but
I'm just gonna, if they don't start with me, I'm just gonna keep to myself.
Correct, but not every comic is like you.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm just saying with me, I would never. Yes. I'm gonna look on my phone. I'm gonna read a book. I'm gonna go on Facebook.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I have the date.
But Joe is very, and I love when Joe comes there because he comes there. He comes on time. Well. Except for the last time.
The time with Joey and I.
Oh, yes.
Because the last time I was there was with Vic
and
with Eric.
But
that was with that massive where Joey and I was.
I got you a blow dryer to dry your pants.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
We were running. They were doing work on the bridge. Joey Cola and I were running late to the gig.
Both of them.
And I'm late. I go. I'm almost there. Please. So
and just a side note. Sorry to squirrel. That's important too. If you're going to be late. Call me and let me know.
And we hate that call, but we hate making that
call. It doesn't matter, but there are some that don't.
Come on, maybe the GPS is lying. No, there are some that don't.
Or just text me and say, this is where I am.
I've been there when acts haven't shown up and I've had to do more time.
Yes, absolutely. So, I'm sorry. Sorry to side-tail as a booker is important too.
So, I show up late and it is drenching rain. I have to get out of the car now. I've got to start a show. I am drenched. Right. She looks like, what happened to you? I go, pouring rain. I have to come to the car.
What happened to you? You have no idea.
She
didn't because she didn't know it was raining.
We were in the back that weekend. And as you know, there's no windows in the other room.
You
can hear it on the windows. There's no windows. I had no idea how badly it was raining out.
And they look at me and they go, you can't go on stage. Like, you're going to dry off. Like, all right. I go, but what about the show? You get people wet. We're going to dry you
off. That's nice.
Yeah.
See, that's nice. That's the part that sucks about when you're the first act. Because there's no extra time.
No.
It's happened at that club.
But that's Friday night coming from Long Island.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I was featuring it. I might have been featuring had to go long for the headliner. I think that's happened at your club. It happens. Sometimes people are
late.
It does
happen. I mean, it's
stuck in a bridge or something.
Whether it's bridge or car breaks down. Yeah. I mean, you know, sadly there was somebody who worked at Poughkeepsie and went his way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Something happened and he had to literally go back.
Oh.
Yeah.
How important are credits at Bananas?
I think as a headliner, they're important. I don't know, as features and MCs, obviously MCs don't have great credits. Some features have great credits, some don't. But to me, in those two spots that I'm booking, it's, again, more about the funny and making a good show.
And what about headliners?
Headliners, personally, I don't think that credits are what they used to be.
Explain.
Okay, so when there was only The Tonight Show and a comic did The Tonight Show, you were golden. You were somebody.
Right.
For example, Ellen, when she first did it and then started getting jobs. And, you know, those early comics that were on The Tonight Show, you know, they went somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now you have so many different shows. You have, you know, all the late night shows plus all of the cable late night shows. You have daytime shows. It's just more common practice.
You
now
also have YouTube, and what I'm finding is that a lot of the clubs are looking for Twitter followers more than like a media credit. Is that true?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's very much about the Twitter followers too.
Is that a big thing for you when you guys are booking stuff?
With the old owners, because I was doing the headliners. Yes, and even now, I mean, you're looking to see if they're promoting it.
Okay.
You know, if they're tweeting it.
Your guys' Twitter feed is not very active. I've actually, like, put you guys in my Twitter thing. There's, like, no retweet.
New owner, old owner, both.
Whatever. The old new owner.
Okay, because old owner was me, and I don't tweet.
New owner, I mean, I just put it, I mean.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why. I will ask. I just know that our Instagram
maybe
just
they didn't
want to
admit that I was going to be there.
No.
It's possible.
No, I know our Instagram is just starting to slowly get up and going.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's one person who does all of the social media. So, in entailing, you know, Bananas into it and everything. And So not that Bananas has a lot of Twitter followers because I didn't tweet. Right. I'm not a person that does that. Mm.
What's the most frustrating thing about being a comedy booker?
People wanting more money.
Okay, let's talk about cause, no, that's a very real thing because
it is a very real
I've
thing.
Never gotten a
and
fucking
you
raise.
You can't, you know, it's a, there's a.
Why can't you? Why
I'm
can't?
Not allowed because that's what I was told. This is how much I'm told, and that's it.
So nobody ever gets more in the slot?
There? No, not that I know of at this point.
So say you have somebody who's a really good, say you got Joe, for instance, really, really good host. Mm-hmm. You're not going to move him up to feature mm-hmm. for whatever. So Joe can't get any more money.
Well, here's the thought behind it with some people, not me, obviously, all the times. There's always somebody out there willing to work.
Well, that is true.
That's what I've always.
It's really true, and there's that, and there's also, you know, sometimes. Which I'll explain to you about this earlier comic that we were speaking about, headliners that'll take a feature spot because they would rather work than not. Where if they didn't have something booked for this specific weekend and I come along
and
say,
had that conversation.
I think we did, right?
Well, I said, listen, if I'm open, I'll take a host. This was the old owners.
Yeah.
I said, if I'm open, I'll take a host. It's not that far. I don't give a shit. Do whatever you want. And I used to be a really good host for you guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're like, I wouldn't do that. Because if you do that, that's
well,
where
certain
they'll put
people,
you.
Then that's where it'll stay.
Right. And
that, yeah. You know, certain people, I mean, like, we love Joe Curry as a host. He's fantastic. Fantastic. You're going to get more work doing that right now than the other way. So it's just, you know, it's such a delicate game to play. And, you know, you're just given this much that you can pay, and that's it. And that's all it is.
So it's frustrating for you when comics ask or that you have to say no?
Both. I can understand when they ask because everybody asks for a raise at some point in their careers.
The
or
money's gone; it hasn't gone up since the '80s.
No. Yeah, but you want to know something? When she went back to saying this, that somebody will take the gig. When we were doing, I forgot what audition it was, but it was like a cattle call. And this is going back maybe 15 years ago. I remember that we had to be there at 6:30, and I got there at 6:45, and you're like in the morning. And
AM?
AM.
Okay.
And Dad's like, where have you been? It's 6:45. And there is 80 comics online already.
Here's the thing. She has just said, you're fantastic. Somebody who's going to take that spot is not going to be as good as you. Plus, if somebody doesn't show up, as we just talked about, Joe can go up there and do 20, 30, 45.
Yeah.
Most of your hosts can't do that. You don't want most of your hosts doing more than 10 or 15.
Correct.
Where you could put Joe, they're stuck in traffic. I need you to do 35 minutes.
Yeah. No.
And you, and the way I look at it, well, that's valuable. I should pay this guy more because I know that's one less thing I have to worry about that could go wrong, at least if I got him. Boom.
But the thought behind it is that there's always somebody who's willing to take the job.
Right. No, there is.
Yeah.
But I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
But it's not my.
No,
it's
I know
not
that.
Me.
No, we're talking about the business. I think that's a mistake.
But I think we're on par to what other clubs pay, from what I understand.
Depends on the club. Okay. My rate for you guys is lower than what I pay my guys or girls.
Okay.
For that spot.
But the rate that I pay you is across the board with all of the clubs that were associated.
I think it's going up. Now, a lot of them have eliminated spots, and now they're just using local people, you know, and so that's another part of the industry.
Or a two-person show.
Right, and I think that hurts the industry.
I think it does also. I firmly believe in a three-act show.
Right, and Bananas is still one of the few places that will bring in hosts. Most of the time, they won't even bring in hosts anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and the thing about it is a host is an important thing.
It's the most important
job.
It's because, I remember Joe Sarv also told me, he goes, it's an important job because they gave their money to a stranger, they gave their coat to a stranger, they gave their drink order to a stranger. The host is the first person that's going to unite everybody in this whole night.
Absolutely.
And get everybody, you know, on board with everything.
Well, I've talked about it before. Canada does it properly. Canada has a headliner to headline the show and a headliner to host the show.
Right.
Now, so the host is the second highest paid act on the show.
Really?
The weakest act is the feature in the middle doing like 15 or 20.
Right.
Because they put, and I think Europe does it that way too. They put, you guys would probably be better served having somebody like me host, you know, and paying what you would pay for the middle spot and then putting somebody weaker in the middle.
I did not know this.
No, that's the way a lot of that's the way the United States does. United States does it ass backwards, because as Joe no, they do, because as Joe says, and you agreed, and we all agree, the host sets the tone. Uh-huh. You want them coming out getting laughs immediately,
and you need to have a host that knows that. Because basically, when I'm doing the Thursdays and Sundays at Governors, I'll go down to the club and I go, I'm going to do this. I want to do this new spot. I want to do this new bit I had on my mind. Blah blah. And I'll walk in, Miss Curry, you're emceeing tonight. That's done. It's all gone. Yeah. It's all gone. Mm-hmm. You go. You know. You do what the club
says.
Yeah,
you have a different approach to
but
that.
But it's all gone. I have to do. I got to get the club.
I've
up
done.
And, you know.
I've done everything at Waltz Club. I've headlined it. Yeah. I featured it. I was house MC there.
Okay.
I've done it. And when I'm house MC, and when I'm headlining, I'm featured. I'm still doing new stuff. Mm-hmm. Not bringing notes on stage, but I'm still doing new stuff because I know if it doesn't work, I can get out of it. I got something else going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my game, but now I might talk to the audience a little bit more. I might do the
as
an MC.
Because you got to change it up a little bit in that
spot.
No, I just
got to bring them together, and if I can pick out some
things
for
the
other
bit,
guys.
It doesn't go, that's not a big deal, but your whole, like, for me, my whole persona from, you know, a middle or a headliner changes when I'm doing the MC.
I think
thing.
I was a better host years ago than I am now. I think I was more.
I think you're a very good host now.
Well, thank you. I think I was a lot more laughy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know what? My humor wasn't as dark. Mm. My humor wasn't as dark.
You've gotten darker.
I have. I mean, but I think it's still accessible. But it's darker, which is not necessarily ideal for the hosting. What I can get away with is I can talk to a crowd and get them on board.
Yeah.
But to what you're saying, yeah, you know, it's good to have a little bit more generic stuff.
You have to change your whole game plan changes.
Mm-hmm. I just don't do it.
Because that's the job. That's that job.
Yeah, I just don't do it, but you're probably right.
No.
Are there certain types of comedians that work better at Bananas than other types?
No, I don't think one works better over another, as long as the show is diverse. Yeah, because sometimes somebody who's dry is not going to go over well, where another night they might, depending on what's in the show also.
Mm-hmm. One of the most frustrating things about being a comedian is when we don't hear back from the booker, whether it's to get that initial booking mm-hmm. or to get that rebooking, mm-hmm. and we're firing off emails and we're sending phone calls, and it's not getting answered. I think that's one of the most frustrating things.
And the funny thing is, yeah, to get to the point, there was a couple of agents I work for, they'll go, you haven't been back in how long? You know? And I think sometimes you folks don't really, you know.
Well, sometimes we just generally forget.
Right, right.
You have it all written down, though. You'll ask.
But I'll have to go back.
But but it's at your hands. We've had that conversation.
Yeah, I do. I write notes. Notes.
You're like,
because...
I'll go, I think I was there in June. You go, no, you were here in April. I go, okay, I was here in April.
I have an index card for every comic.
But how good are you at getting back to the talent?
Okay, so here's the thing. So getting back to the talent that has been there.
Both.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Talent that has never been there. So if you're sending me your video or whatever, I'm watching it. If it's not good, I'm not going to get back to you, because you know how many I get a week?
So you're not going to say no thank you?
No. No, I'm just not going to. At this point, I'm not going to. Or I have. I've done that. Like last week, you know, somebody sent me, you know, they do, you know, open mics, blah, blah, blah. They want to get booked in the club. I'm sorry. We're an A-list club. You know, we mm-hmm. don't do mics. We don't, you know, do right. bringers.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, simple go to hell would be nice. You know.
I try to be nice.
I love you. It would be.
No, seriously. No is the second best answer.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. No, thank you.
Simple go to hell would be great.
This is what I do. I mean,
I'm starting to, you know, really reply, but again, you know, there's
and it works
so
out,
many,
and it
too.
Works out well, because this way we know there's either two questions. Well, in my playbook, may I resubmit in a year, or uh-huh. well, thank you for your time. At least
the resubmitting, I wish people would say
we
that.
Both
I would
know,
love
yeah,
that.
We both know. All right, because we don't want to pester you with calls.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want to waste your time. We don't want to waste mm-hmm. our time.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So if you just go, no, thank you. Don't you think you're not right for the club.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. I will heed that advice. Yeah.
Now, a professional will take that and go, can I resubmit? But you will get some assholes that'll start cursing
well,
at you.
Fuck them.
Sure I will. Sure
but
I
you know
will.
What? Then you don't want, then, you, then, know. You, then you're learning about
but
them
the now.
But
here's the thing. If
and
you're, better. It yeah. also, if I'm getting submissions from somebody, you know, in Wisconsin, you
it's
know.
Not going to pay for them.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you a question. Say I was going to recommend Jackie. and I tell and I say put referred by Davin in there. Does a referral by somebody who you like, does that carry
sometimes
any weight?
It does, because then I know you're not sending me shit. I know you're sending me a legitimate.
Yeah, and when you get a recommendation from us, it's a reflection on us. So
absolutely.
So we don't want absolutely. Because if we take a not a chance, but
and I write that down too. Recommended by, yeah. So I remember.
Yeah.
Who recommended?
Because
them.
if we you know,
one of our pals is very upset because somebody is using his name, who he's friends with, as a referral. And they're not liking the tape. I'll tell you guys off the air.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's showing a bad reflection to her. It's like, I don't know if I can. Now he's like, I don't know if I can recommend you as a headliner because this guy said I recommended him as a feature and the owner didn't like him.
Most of the time when comics are going to recommend somebody to me, they'll advise me beforehand.
Yes.
Denise, I'm going to send, this is the name.
Yeah.
You know, and yes. it'll come in there and then it'll come across my email and go, all right, yes, I remember because, let's say, you know, Davin, told me to, you know, write in. And I'll be like, yes, I remember having this conversation, and then the name will ring a bell. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happens most of the time.
Yeah, because it's a reflection. Like, if it's
out of the blue,
if they come up,
I'm questioning.
If we're just trying to shuffle people in there, and they go on stage and stink, it's the same thing as if we're on stage.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah, because it's our reflection
of
us.
It's always dangerous
yeah.
to refer somebody, but I like to refer people
because
I've
you
been
know,
referred.
Right,
but listen,
yeah.
if they're good and, you know, and especially in my case, you know, MCs, you know, great MCs are so hard to come by.
Yes.
You know, and in this industry, and I mean, you guys have been in it a long time, so you understand this, you know, people, there are legitimately some comics that are in a position on a show where they should not be.
What do you mean? Like too good or too bad? Or
they're bad for their position.
Oh, yeah, I know those people. I worked with one a couple weeks ago. Anyway, no, you're right. You're right.
No, but
sometimes people have the credits, but they don't have the act.
Exactly, or they think, you know,
no,
I've been doing this,
no,
but no,
no,
but I've been doing this.
The guy was fine.
All right.
It's fine. Listen, if you like
it. I was trying to ignore it, Joe.
If you like an audience being interviewed, this is your guy. Right. No, he was fine. No, but there are acts that
no,
but
if
pull
you,
it off.
But if you only, like said, been in an MC spot for like a year and you think that you should be featuring now.
No.
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 And that's with
no.
a lot of the female comics.
No, exactly. No. Yes, no. That happens a lot there.
Yeah.
You know, they just... I don't know. It's just such a
I got one
fine
just,
line.
I got a female who just asked me to feature. Now I used she's a nice woman.
Uh-huh.
I had her host.
Uh-huh.
Did not do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I was on another show with her. It wasn't a show I produced. Was on another show with her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just a few months later, I'm like, wow, she's really gotten better. I think something clicked in. So boom, I'm gonna give her another opportunity to host,
yeah.
which a lot of people won't do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Now I wasn't there. I heard she did. Really good as a host,
okay.
Which makes me happy. I get very like today. Hey, here are my avails. I'd love to feature for you, but I will host. I'm like thinking,
oh,
really?
That's
really?
It.
Really?
That's what gets me.
It's like, dude, you're one for two, which is not good in comedy. Great if you're a baseball player,
yeah.
But comedy, that ain't fucking cutting. Let's slow down,
yeah.
Because my features are headliners.
Yeah.
That's what most of my features yeah. are people with headline experience.
Well, a lot of my features are there also.
I know
and
that.
And a lot of my MCs are
right.
legitimate features.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
It's just that the positioning at
right. And people
right,
don't
right,
want
right,
to,
right,
people
right,
don't
right.
want to always understand that. But I'm just like,
exactly.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Especially if you knew, like, if you knew, like, if you come in and, like, like, I'm on stage. Oh,
yeah.
Well, he's the MC. Oh, I wonder how long he's been doing. I've been doing it 23 years.
He's been doing
it
a long time.
Listen, nobody
long time.
Thinks you just started. Look at you.
Yeah, right.
He must
so
be
kind.
Brand new.
Yeah.
He's so kind.
Graduated from college, did you?
That's hysterical. My
no,
colleague.
But you can also tell you're polished. You know what you're fucking doing.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
tell when somebody's polished and somebody's feeling it.
Yeah.
Nobody should look at you and think you're new at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there's a specific female comic that, you know, everybody totes is doing very well. And she's been by me two times. And both times she did not do well.
Headline
and
or
then
feature?
I saw Border.
Well, what's she doing for you?
Feature.
Okay.
And did not do well at all. And I saw her at another club. Did not do well.
Yeah, then there's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people don't realize a Bergen County crowd, which is where your club is, not the easiest crowd.
No.
Very,
very
jaded.
Tough. Very.
It's like a Levittown crowd.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or Staten mm-hmm. Island crowd.
Right, right.
Yeah, I hear Staten Island's tough, too.
Yeah, Levittown, Gov is...
So, if somebody eats their dick in your club, I'm not really that surprised. But, you know, a lot of my stuff is the same region. Like, you got to be able to do it. I mean, these are the people.
Yeah, but it's also your jokes. I mean, if you're going to, some things are not going to go over in Wisconsin that are going to go over in Bergen County.
Or Myrtle Beach.
Or exactly. Apparently something didn't go over there.
You're fine. No, not me.
Yeah.
We had to have a talk over Chinese food. They were fine.
Well, yes, that's the South.
I finally figured it out.
Go as quick, I think.
No, you know what? It just comes to playing different regions. That's
it absolutely is. It's definitely, I mean, when we get a comic from Colorado or, you know, somewhere like there, you can tell the difference in their what they're talking about just in general. So, you know, it's just different.
What are some of the differences you see in the comedy business now than from when you began?
In what sense? I mean, what differences?
I think audience, business, and comedy.
That alone, like I just said, people thinking that they should move up quicker.
That's new.
That's newer, I think, within the past 5 years.
I think so, because with the proliferation of YouTube and Facebook and all a lot of comics think they're more entitled.
That might be part of it. I also think maybe because the money blows.
I was waiting to say that word, but that's exactly it.
The money blows. I think that's a part of it, too. You can only be in a position for so long if you want to make this a career that you can't survive on it.
Yeah.
The money in our business, unless you're at the top like a Kevin Hart, is not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that's why a lot of people are in a hurry. But then you get to your point, what you said earlier. But then if you get that spot, you better kick ass in that spot.
Yeah. You really should.
Mm-hmm. Like, I did not push. I probably could have pushed to move up from MC to feature sooner than I did. But I waited because I wanted to make sure I had.
By
like,
us.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I
Well, by us, you were such a good MC also.
Well, thank you.
You know, and I think in the long run, I mean, you know, you're going to get more work by me as a great MC than as a great feature just because the spots aren't there.
But I feel like I'll book my other weekends anyway.
Exactly.
And I told you, I would have filled in for you as an MC, but you advised against it, which I appreciate the honesty that. There was our friendship
for
right
you.
There. Right.
For you specifically.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I appreciate it because you gave other examples of some very good comics that had done that. Mm-hmm. They had gone down from headliner to feature, and now they weren't getting the headline work.
Yes.
So that's why I go, okay.
Yes.
Now I got a question. An audition video, how long should it be, and how much of it do you usually look at when you judge?
I think 5 minutes is my golden number.
Mm-hmm. Really? Even when you were looking into headliners, 5 minutes?
Well, headliners, most headliners I know. You know, I just know of them over the years, whether seeing them in different clubs or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. I'll go to different clubs.
Yeah, you're actually out there. You go see comedy. No, you do. You do. That's good.
I do. Well, you know, I'll go see somebody specific, but, you know, and I mean, that happened at, you know, one of Gotham's shows. Mm-hmm. I went to see a specific person, and two people blew me away. Two other people on that show.
Right.
And I subsequently booked them because of that. You know, if I'm seeing you, and I mean, that for me, that's the best also, you know, if I'm out there in the element, because you can also see how people handle an audience.
So comics wanting to move up quicker, that's something you've changed. What about the audience? Has the audience changed over the years?
Well, so now with the new ownership now, I can see it changing even now.
All right. What are you seeing?
Well, because there's more social media going on, the way that the advertising is going.
So you're seeing a younger audience right now.
They're targeting younger.
Okay, that's interesting. Before they did not.
I don't think prior that...
Certain name comics would bring in a younger audience.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, we had a... I don't have the nice way to say this. Not that we had
don't
an old...
Don't be nice, you're on our show.
Not that we had an old audience, but, you know, the young kids... So, just like advertising in our local newspaper. Nobody reads a fucking newspaper anymore. Nobody. I mean, the circulation has gone down. It's just not there. The paper's coming out poor. It's just, I mean, that's...
We had this conversation with Walt. I go, you know what you never see? Never see a comedy club advertised on television. People are still...
And you want to know why? Because it's so fucking expensive.
I understand that.
And not only that, but on television, where am I going to go? Okay, because not...
You go to New Jersey 12.
But I don't watch Comedy Central, me personally.
Right.
I just don't. But there's so many channels now.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not watching the comedy channels. I work in comedy. I'm not watching comedy 24/7.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, but to get the younger people, The only way you're going to grasp them is with social media because everything is in their phones.
So you, in your particular case, you're seeing a difference in how you guys are advertising, which is bringing a different clientele.
Well, not even advertising, just also in the club. So by doing a text contest.
A what now?
A text contest.
Joe, yeah. I don't want to see your penis. You win nothing.
Exactly. No. Where you say...
Where, my girlfriend's listening.
Yeah.
She wants to see your penis.
Exactly. If you text, like, say, the word black to this number, you're going to win maybe, you know, 2 free tickets to a future show. So what's happening is in the club, they're texting, bam, now you got their cell phone number. Now you're going to send them. You're going to send
Who's
them.
Who's saying right?
But you're not only, but you're going to make it worth their while, you know, half off this weekend.
Okay.
You know, something like that. So now you're building it up. And most of the younger people, like I'm so old, they're so glued to their phones. That's all they don't want. They don't even want to sit in front of a laptop anymore. They're not even do that. If it's not instantaneous on their phone, it's not happening.
Well, to that, our audience's attention spans less.
Yes.
So you couldn't. So I agree with you.
I think Kevin Hart, is it Kevin Hart or Chappelle? Chappelle has the greatest thing by taking the cell phones and locking them.
He does that.
It was Chappelle who did it.
Really?
He did it.
Really, Chappelle.
And there's a club in Arizona that does it now.
Really?
There's a one of the Arizona clubs. I think it's Arizona, Colorado. I think it's Arizona.
I don't think there's
that
room.
They lock it up because they're so consumed about who's liking their posts, you know, who's texting them, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, that's where it's at. It's very hard to go through an entire show without telling somebody to get off their phone.
Yeah, as I found out with you, where the guy had to explain his resume in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I just
ignore it most of the time.
I know, but it's a rude thing.
It happens
to
at a Bon Jovi concert. It's going to happen seeing Stupid Me at Bananas.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is.
Oh, that's true, right. Too. I was going to say
he got it where nobody was on their phones. But, I mean, he did it more for videotaping purposes.
Right.
You know, but it wound up being, you know, you're paying attention. You know, you go to a show, you're paying to see a show. Enjoy the
show.
Yeah,
right.
Are audiences ruder than they used to be?
Absolutely, because everybody's fucking entitled.
Okay.
It's horrible.
No, because I always had my perspective, and it seems to be in line with yours.
No, it's, you know, they're talking to each other more like they don't respect that. Like, you're in a show.
Yeah.
You're in a show. All right, it might not be a Broadway show, but even in a Broadway show I've been at where there's phones going off or...
Yeah, but they got ushers walking around, they'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. But, and I have people that'll go up to say it, and they
You actually have
like,
a staff
you.
At your club. Most clubs don't.
No, I know. But that's something, but it goes, you know, you're coming, and one of my biggest responses to somebody, you know, you say something to them once, if you have to go back, it's, you know, everybody in here didn't pay to hear you. You know, whether you're talking to somebody, being rude, you know, the person at your table because you're being loud or you're taking photos or whatever it may be. You know, they didn't pay to hear or see what you were doing.
So as a booker, is there a certain level of comfort that you have when a comic, you know, can shut it down on their own? Or would you prefer the comic didn't address it and that your staff came over and shut it down?
It depends on the comic. There are some comics that can't handle it.
Well, I know we mentioned Rich Voss. I know you like to see when Rich does it.
He's a master at it. Right. It's, I mean, there's no better way.
I'm saying his name because we're speaking well of him.
I'm not
saying the names that we're speaking badly
he's
of.
But he's a master at dealing with people. And Rich knows I love him, so I can say that.
I was working with Rich one night down at Jersey Shore, and I go, all right, Richie, I got a split. He goes, don't you want to see Brilliance? And I go, who's coming?
That's a typical fucking answer from him. I said, oh, I complimented the movie. I said, oh, the movie was great. He goes, of course it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, but your wife did it, not you. I'm not complimenting you. I'm complimenting your wife. But anyway, so yes, certain comics know how to deal with it. Certain comics don't. Some don't want to deal with it. Some will give us a code if somebody's safe word.
Yeah.
If somebody's bothering them, you know.
Mine
like,
is rape. Like I immediately
like
yell
for
rape.
Example, if Rich Voss said to me, "Denise, get me a vodka tonic," I know something's wrong.
Okay.
Right. Over at Gubbs, it's like, can I get a bottle of water? And that's.
But see, that's not by me because we're always doing that.
Right.
But you know, you can if you also know a comic like that. If a comic doesn't drink and all of a sudden they're asking for a drink,
okay.
Or you know, or you can see it. I can see when a comic is getting uncomfortable, also,
that's good.
Then you go over and you try to address it. But not only me, but my staff, and that's what they're also there for.
Right.
You know, I mean, I had a show that went totally shitty, and you know, cops were called. tables were flying.
See, Joe, again, not just me.
Fists were flying, and that's because a comic could not handle it, and it just got out of hand. It was just.
Did I ever tell you the story when Joe and I went down to Alabama?
I don't think so.
Wilderness. One day we went down.
Joe and I go to, this is years ago, go down to Alabama. There's fucking rednecks up there. They work at Sears. And Joe's doing his thing, and Joe's doing well, but they're throwing popcorn at him. They're throwing a popcorn while Joe's doing his thing. Completely fucking rude.
So rude.
Right. So I go up there, and I'm not going to have any of this, because you know how I am.
Yeah.
So I deal with them. But apparently so were some other audience members who were not going to have anything. Off-duty cops were not going to have it.
They're the worst.
The off-duty cops go after the other guys. Now they're brawling in the back of the room while I'm on stage. Chairs are fucking flying, and nobody's telling me to get the fuck off stage.
Yeah.
So I just have to keep on. I pretty much kept on going, didn't I?
Yeah, one of the cops goes to the guy, you want to go to jail? I already been to jail. It's not a travel plan. maybe we'll go, we'll go to the Bahamas. Well, yeah. Stupid.
Fortunately, it spilled outside to the alleyway
next,
where the SWAT team was called in.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've been
now,
there.
And the funny thing is, he was throwing ice at Davin. So while it was ice. It was ice. So I tell Davin, the guy said, I work at the home improvement department at Sears. That's what he said. So the next day, the hotel is across from Sears. And I go,
did you go?
Well, yes. And I told him, I go, bring bail money. I go, because we're going to find him. And if we find him, we're getting ice and we're going to throw ice at him because I want to see him do his job with fucking ice being thrown at him.
That was the plan. He worked at a different
city. But I've said that to people too. I said, did somebody come to your job and be rude as shit to you? And you know what their answer is? That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And no, it's not what you're supposed to do.
But the great thing is, Dee, that you get it because a lot of times you'll go to a show, especially when we work on the road, and there'll be a rowdy crowd. There'll be a rowdy patron. One rowdy patron dismisses the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then the cater to that. I'm never coming. Oh, please, we'll give you a comp ticket. And you cater to that. In my book, I don't want that patron back.
Get out.
And
they don't want to lose a cover.
And you're, but the thing about it is, and I've always told you that, you're worried about one person. How about the 300 that were disrupted in the room.
That are disgusted by what's happening and aren't going to come back because you didn't
exactly.
deal with
it. Exactly. So you're worried. You don't want him back. You want
There's
the 300 back.
There's nothing better than an audience clapping when somebody's shitty is being taken out.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, no, I can think of something better when they buy a T-shirt. That's,
exactly.
That's funny. Better.
I was at a show where I went to a show at a theater, paid, bought tickets, regular patron to go see a show, and there was a woman who was just horrid. And the comic kept addressing it on the stage. And this is a, 1,500-seat theater, sold-out show.
That's hard to do.
It's very hard to do, and the comic kept addressing it, kept addressing it. I was literally out of my chair. Going to go to the person.
Yeah, but that's a bad job by the theater.
Go to the staff and say, if you don't deal with her, I will.
It's really
because
bad
it's
job
rude.
By the theater.
And then I was halfway up the aisle, and they were taking her out. Good. But it took the specific comic, I think, four times.
That's too much.
Which is way too much.
So you agree with me that the audience is ruder and don't have the same attention span?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Last question, then we're going to take a break. See, we're doing a lot of show tonight.
Yes.
We are doing. What do you think the future of live stand-up comedy is?
I think it's definitely going to be different because a lot of comics want to go to theaters only.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get to a certain spot, they don't want to do comedy clubs. I hope it stays. They're over the years, comedy has gone up and down, and it goes in stages.
Well, some people were saying that we're in the middle of a boom. I've heard that the past couple of years, which I disagreed with. I go, when my money goes up,
I don't think we are. I don't know. The boom, was in the late 80s, or early 90s? No, because everybody was going to comedy. But like Joe said, with the onset of YouTube and the computer, and this, I had this conversation with one of my children's friends. They're all in their, 19, 20 years old. And they all know what I do. Mm-hmm. And none of them have come to the club. And I asked them why. Have you ever heard of this comedian? Have you ever heard of this comedian? They asked me, and I'm like, yes. Why don't you come and see them? I can watch them on YouTube.
I think, and that goes back to what I was talking about with Walt on the show. Mm-hmm. Comedy does an awful job of marketing itself because that's the answer. I could see it on YouTube. They don't understand that if comedy is done well live, it is nothing like.
Well, that's what I say to these kids. I'm like, there's nothing like a live show. You can watch all you want, but you don't have the feel of a live show. There's just nothing.
Which is why what that comic was asking me to do was cheating the audience.
Correct.
He was asking me to take away the live feel and just recite my lines like I was on YouTube.
Yes. Right. Like you're reading from a book or whatever.
And you can't do that. That's not
what it's
a speech. That's not a,
So I don't know. I honestly, it's very hard to tell where comedy is going to be in the future, you know, with the onset of, you know, all these, not even television anymore, these pay for Netflix, Hulu, you know, all this where people are just doing their own shows and putting them on there. And that's it.
Does Netflix carry a lot of weight as far as credits?
I don't think so, because there are people that have done their, they've, you know, paid for their own stuff, and you shop at the Netflix and they're going to buy it for a price and they're going to play it because they bought it, but it's not necessarily, you know, a great piece of work. It's good. I'm not going to say it's not good. It's definitely good. But there are some comics that I go, oh, all right. So they got a special.
I don't feel TV, obviously I grew up watching comedy, but I don't think TV or video does comedy justice. I always say that's the hard part. Like, I can't get a good tape, a good clip, because I always say, you've seen me live. If I show you a clip, it's not going to feel the same, because every show I'm doing is differently, and you don't want to see me do that on a video.
And also, there's laugh tracks or there's a live audience. You can tell the difference.
You can tell the difference.
I can tell that. Well, yes. And I like to think that most people can tell the difference between a laugh track.
So many people are putting laugh tracks in their thing.
Sure. Well,
but if you're taping, you know, if somebody sends me, you know, I've watched them on, you know, say Conan or whatever. They sent me their bit there. Not that Conan laugh tracks, but I can't remember. There was a show that I could totally tell that there was a laugh track enhancing it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether somebody put it in or not, I don't know. But then again, if you're sending me that, sometimes it's even hard to hear an audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laugh.
And sometimes...
How important is hearing the audience laugh?
I think it's extremely important. There's nothing worse than a quiet audience.
See, I agree with that. And so many people say, nah, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, it does matter. It's a comedy show.
You know,
it does
I understand matter. That, but
it's not a soliloquy.
But one of the biggest things that happened by me, and I see this so often, is there are people, and these are in shows that are not huge shows, they're smaller shows. People are afraid to laugh because they're afraid to be the only one laughing. Now, laughter is contagious.
I thought you were very funny. I don't know what was wrong with the audience. Yeah. I get that. You are the audience.
Yeah.
But that has its problem, too, where I have listened to a show and there's not a lot of laughter, say for one comic or whatever, usually the MC, where I'm like, God damn, they were funny. Why weren't they laughing? And then they come out and they go, oh my God, you were great. You were great. And I'm like, well, why didn't you laugh?
Yes.
And that's what it is, because they don't want to be the only one laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if everybody in that audience thinks that, then nobody's going to laugh.
Yeah.
So that happens also.
It's just it's amazing the chemistry of a show. I was working for Wisecrackers. I'm working in their room in Scranton, and I'm running the show. I go up, and I do 15 minutes, destroyed. This audience was golden. You wanted to take them everywhere with you. They were great. Go right. We're running two shows concurrently. Thank you. Bring up the middle. I run downstairs. Now it's a soccer benefit. I did the same act I did 5 minutes ago, flat as a board.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring your headliner up. Run back upstairs. Do the middle spot five. Destroy. Run back down with that five. Flat again. So it's the chemistry of an audience is a very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's out of the control of the club. It's out of the control of the comic.
That's why I'll ask you. I want your opinion, and then we're going to really take a fucking
break.
Is there such a thing as is the audience ever to blame if a show isn't that good?
Like,
is there a bad audience?
Yes, there can totally be a bad audience.
I'm of that mind, too. Because you're doing the same shit.
You can have such a tight audience, is the word that we love to use, you know, like a, you know, and then you can have an asshole audience that is drunk. That is a, like, let's say a late show Saturday night.
That's perfect. That's the ripe time.
You know, but whereas a Friday night audience, you know, an early
is tight
because they've just come from work.
Right,
coming to
right,
a show.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to take them longer to just relax than, say, a Saturday early show, which is the prime show of any weekend, I think.
And the thing about it is, like I was saying before, that, you know, the star rule, you'll walk into that Friday show, your mindset's there, just in case. Sometimes they'll surprise you. But
yeah, and it's a great surprise.
Yeah, it's a great surprise. But you know when you go on stage, you know, you're doing fine some material. Yeah, yep. It's not you. And you settle in. You settle in with what they're giving back to you because you know why.
Well, that's just like the conception of the misconception of a bachelor or bachelorette party. That you think that they're going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will surprise you.
Sometimes they're fun.
And
most
they're
of the time
best.
They're horrible, though. But
as long as they don't have dicks hanging all over them.
That's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
Gives me fantasies. All right. Let's take a break. On the break, we got new music from Ali Jacko with What If I Loved You Like That.